many of you are enjoying this wonderful winter weather? Spirit, I am so glad to see you. I want you to come up here and give me a big old hug. Oh my gosh. Now don't you make my old self fall over. Y'all put this blue microphone on. Hey, Spirit, come here. I'm not done yet. Okay, so the first time I ever met her, this is Sydney's daughter and Mindy's daughter, and when I met her, she got up here. I said, we're going to have testimony service, and this is on a Sunday morning. And adults are afraid to get behind a microphone, okay? This kid didn't know none of us. The first time she was here, she was the first one up there. She got that microphone, and she just owned it, and she gave God some praise. And so, Spirit, is there anything good that you can say about God this morning?
God gives us light inside the darkness.
Amen. Amen. Would you feel comfortable praying over this congregation? You take it like you own it. Amen. I'm going to help you.
Father in heaven, I lose you
in your power
over these people.
In
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Spirit. I got to know who I can get away with things with. I'd call half of you up, you get offended and leave the church. That's just the reality of it. But you know what? I got to tell you, on your worst day, if you can't say something for God, you need to work on that, because God is seeing you through your worst day. And I just want to minister that to you this morning. I'm going to preach a message called Disarming the Disappointment. What I see a lot of believers struggling with is when they get disappointed, they don't know how to act. Disappointment is hard to handle because there's an expectation there that wasn't met. And when people don't get what they want, usually there's some hard feelings there. Doesn't matter what age group that you are, you see it from the littlest of people to the oldest of people. People as a whole need to learn how to handle disappointments better. There may be folks in here this morning and you're disappointed in what your life has become. I always say one of the main things that you have to grieve over is the idea of what you thought your life was going to be. How many of you have ever had an idea of what you thought life was going to be and it wasn't? It didn't work out what you thought it was going to be. There's times in your life where you're going to wake up and you're not going to recognize yourself. You're not going to recognize what you're in the middle of, and it's because life will take you by surprise. And it gets real very, very quickly. And so I want to minister to you this morning about disarming the disappointment. So a lot of times, I'll just put it this way, some folks that live in very high crime areas, they have alarm systems over their property. And if something trips the alarm, or if they're wanting to get it to where it's not going to come on, or maybe they've gotten in the house, they're going to punch their little code, and they've disarmed the alarm. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning with disappointment. You can disarm disappointment, because what the devil does is he gets you in an episode or a moment where you're disappointed, and he'll get you to doing things that you really shouldn't be doing, that you really don't want to do. He'll get you saying things that you wish later on down the road that you wouldn't have said. Now you can't unsay them. And he'll get you in a place in your life where you've acted in a way that you're not proud of. And so I find myself in these situations at times, and I don't like it, and it makes me feel defeated when I get there. And so I'm going to minister. Y'all go with me this morning to Isaiah chapter 53, and we're going to look at verse 3, and I'm going to give you some points about disarming the disappointment. We are looking in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 3. And I believe that God is the best artist that there is. There's times where I'm looking out on the lake or I'm looking at something and I just think, God, how do you do that? So it's just beautiful. You ever look at something out in nature or something, you just think, this is just, only God could paint a picture like this. And that's so true. And I believe that the devil is also a very good artist. And so in the middle of disappointment, what happens is the devil is very good at painting a picture in our mind. In our mind. And he is able to get what's going on in our mind actually bigger than it is in real life. And, you know, that's why the Word of God says, magnify the Lord. What does that mean? Make God bigger. When you're having a problem and you're in the battle of your life, you're in the trial of your faith, you need to make God bigger. Because the devil, in your mind and in your heart, he is trying to make the situation bigger, more scary, more awful than what it actually is most of the time. And so the devil is very, very good. The Word describes the devil in Genesis as very crafty. Very crafty. The devil can take something and make it look like something else and pass it off as a God thing. I'm going to say that again. The devil can take something, make it look very good, and pass it off as a God thing and confuse Christians all over the world and getting them to believe that what they're doing is right. And what we have to do is have the spirit of discernment, and we also have to understand that disappointing times are going to come, and the believer cannot afford to fall apart when they're disappointed. Because God told us in His Word, trials and tribulations will come. What is He saying? Things are going to happen in life that you're not going to like. But He told you, be of good cheer. Don't let it get you down. I have overcome that. I have overcome everything that you're dealing with right now. God has already overcome it. So it's not going to take you down, but you do need to learn how to handle disappointment. The first point that I want to make to you is, the devil is good at painting a picture, and many times when we find ourselves in very, very disappointing times, the devil is good at painting this picture like we're the only one that's ever been through this. Oh, and woe is me. How many of you have ever had a great pity party for yourself? There's times where I'm like, I got to get myself in the bathroom and just have a talk with myself and just say, okay, self, we're going to have a pity party right now. We're going to shut the door. We're just going to have it. And then when we walk out the door, we're going to get our act together because you know you're being unreasonable. But the devil will get you in a moment where you're disappointed with something. Maybe you're disappointed with your life. Maybe you're disappointed in somebody that you love. You're disappointed on the job. You're disappointed because you thought you'd be here at a certain time in your life and you're not. You're actually nowhere close to where you thought you'd be. And the devil will mess with you, and he'll paint this picture, and he'll make you think that you're just all alone, and you're the only one that's ever felt like that. I want to minister to you this morning that the God that you serve is relatable to you. He can relate to you. There's nothing like telling your problems to somebody, and they have no idea what you're talking about because they've never been through it. He who knew no sin became sin for us. So there isn't anything new under the sun that you are going to experience or that you have experienced that Jesus Christ, He became what you're experiencing, the negative part of that. He became the sin that's getting you currently. He became those things. So Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3, it describes Jesus and it says, He was despised and rejected by men. Sometimes you're wrapped up in disappointment because people are rejecting you that you thought should love you and be on your side. And a part of disappointment is understanding that, first of all, Jesus was disappointed. He can relate to you. And I say this very humbly, not everybody is going to be for you. Not everybody is going to be for you and in your corner, and you can't fall apart when they are not. And there's going to be people that you thought were with you and for you and in your corner, And you're going to find out that they weren't. And you cannot fall apart when that happens. What you need to do when that happens, as painful as it could be, is say, God, thank you because you just helped me dodge a bullet. Lord, take out of my life whoever you don't want in it. And God, put people in my life that are going to help me get through what I need to be through. So Isaiah chapter 53 and 3, he says, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Familiar with suffering. He says that he was a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but what I can tell you is that if you're in sorrow, if you're in suffering, if something has lasted way longer than you wanted it to last, I want you to know that Jesus Christ can relate to what you're going through. And if you're in a part of suffering, I want to tell you that no storm is going to last forever. It's not lasting. Don't sit there and make it a place setting at your Thanksgiving table. You tell that thing it's leaving. So point number one with disarming the disappointment, don't allow the devil to paint that picture for you to make you feel sorry for yourself. You don't have time to have a pity party when you're going through the thick of it. Can I be Arkansan for a minute? Put your big girl pants on and get yourself, look, don't get offended at me, but a while back in one of our programs, Brenda Babe, we got some big blue women's drawers. I can't even say the word panties because people send me hate mail all week long. Okay, they were like this big. I said, girl, save those for me because one day in my sermon, I'm going to put them drawers on just to make a point. There's times where you're just going to have to say, you know what? This is what I'm going through. It's right here. It's knocking at my door. I'm not going to be a little sissy girl. I'm going to meet this head on. I'm going to put them big girl pants on, and I'm going to act like God sent me in here to walk through this thing because look here, you don't have time right now to feel sorry for yourself. It's time that you say, greater is he that's inside of me than he that's living in the world. If God is for you, who could be against you? Stop counting all the people that don't like you. They don't count. What do they have to do with who you are? Nothing. If they don't like you, get over it. Because there's plenty of people you don't like. And you ain't got no reason you don't like them. You just don't like them. And I ain't no better than you. I got those people too. I lay awake at night and I go, my God, I don't know why I don't like so-and-so. Lord, correct me. That ain't right. Used to, I'd just be petty and I wouldn't like people because maybe they was prettier than me. And then I got down to just intelligence and I thought, I'm going to hang out with them and see how they did that makeup and make them look 10 years younger. I don't need to be mad at them. I need to get some advice. Jesus is relatable to you. Don't let the devil make you feel like you're the only one going through your mess. You're not. Man, the whole world is going through something right now. We will be till the return of Jesus. So God is relatable to you. He sent his son to come down here and to dwell among us just so they could say, we get you. There was no way before, and now we've made a way just by having my son that I love become everything dirty that we would be. Digest that. So go with me now to Psalms chapter 42. We're going to look at verse 5 through 6. Boy, I'm looking forward to that spaghetti tonight. I hope y'all come. I love Sunday night services because it's like getting around the dinner table with your friends and your family. It's like having a good time. Them girls get up there and they sing and they let loose. Psalms chapter 42, we're going to start at verses 5 through 6. My second point, people are really bad at this and we're all getting worse at it. Here's what happens with disappointment. The moment we feel disappointed, we want to brush it off and we want to act like we're not disappointed. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Somebody hurt your feelings. Do whatever they've done to you, whatever the case may be. It's okay. How many have ever done something to somebody and you knew you made them mad and they told you it was okay? And you're going, it's not okay. When am I going to pay for this? This is going to come up in the future because it's really not okay. My second point, don't pretend it's all okay if it's not. Acknowledge what's gotten you disappointed. A lot of times we are so caught up in this busy society. Do you realize that your brains are overworked and overstimulated just by the pure essence of we get on our phones so many times through the day that it's affecting people and they've got like a thing and it's called brain rot? And it's because our mind is just constantly interrupted, and we don't allow ourselves to have one complete thought before. Here's what happens. Where's my phone? I do this all the time, and I've wondered why I feel like I've developed adult ADHD. God, you're so good. What is Sally Sue doing on Facebook right now? No, I'm supposed to be praying. I'm supposed to be praising. Lord, you're so good. You're so good. I got to know what she's doing. I got to know. You're so good to me. Is that thing that I hearted on Amazon, is it for sale yet today? No wonder we're basket cases. Don't pretend it's all okay if it's not. You have to have conversations with yourself. There's things that happen, and right when they happen, they nick you. It's like somebody punched you and they knocked the wind out of you, and it kind of nicks you. And you go out through the day, and you know that something just rubbed you wrong. You need to process, and you need to think about what it was that rubbed you wrong. Many times, do you know what it is? Somebody did something that you did not expect that they were going to do. And there's a disappointment there. Sometimes you step out of line and you do something that you know wasn't right and you feel sick about it and there's a disappointment there. Here's David in the Psalms, Psalm 42, verse 5. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? He's having a conversation with himself. He's not even having a conversation with God at this point. He's talking to himself, and he's saying, why are you so down right now? Now, I'm going to level with you. I know that we all have problems. I've got them too. But there comes a time in your life that you have got to stop focusing on you and all the things that you're upset about. Because while you're doing that, the devil's having a heyday and your life is just passing you by because, oh, woe is me and everything's terrible. No, I got news for you. You woke up with breath in your lungs. God saw it fit to wake you up another day. And just because it's not all going the way that you wanted it to go, don't be a sourpuss and sulk up at God. Get on your knees and say, God, I want to thank you for giving me another day. Lord, you're going to prove who you are to me today. And guess what? God's going to love on you that day, but you can't even accept all the love that God has for you if you're in an irritated state because you're so torn up about all the things you're disappointed in life about. Look here, you're going to have moments where you are disappointed in people. You're disappointed in the situation. People have done things that you didn't think that they could do or would do to you. And you know what you're going to have to do? Brother Larry, what are they going to have to do? Get over it. And people aren't good at getting over stuff. I'm the world's worst. I'm like, no, I'm holding that grudge. That thing's mine. I'm going to hold that grudge. I remember what they did 10 years ago when they did what I didn't like. Here's David. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? A lot of people don't take the time to even have a conversation with themselves and ask themselves, why are me and all my personalities so upset right now? Why are we depressed? Why am I so upset? It matters that you know why you are upset. It matters that you understand why you are disappointed. Too many people walking around and they don't even know details about their own life and what's going on with them. We're all just walking around by the seat of our pants thinking life's just going to end up great doing that. It's not. You're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have a good life and you're going to have to go and have one. And it's not going to happen by accident. You're going to have to work at it. That's why the Word of God says, work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. It's not easy to do. It's not easy. And people get wrapped up in disappointment, and then awkwardness sets in, and people don't talk for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and we wonder why we're depressed. Well, we let something come in there that should have never been there to begin with. So David says, why are you so disturbed within me? And then he tells himself, he starts talking to himself. See, after you figure out what you're so disappointed in, then you need to give yourself a pep talk. And here's what he said. He says, put your hope in God. He asks himself, why am I so down? Why is my soul so troubled? And then he stops. And he gives himself a command. When's the last time you just commanded yourself to do the right thing? He says, put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Self, put your hope in God. If your hope is in people, you're going to have some expectations that are going to get squelched out. Put your hope in God. And then he says something powerful, that if people can get right, they're going to have a powerful, successful life. For I will yet praise him. I will yet praise him. In another translation, you could easily say in there, even though things are going wrong, I'm going to praise him. For I will yet praise him. If you can't praise him when it's going bad, there's an issue right there. Because life is not just a perfectly straight line. Life is up and down, up and down. For I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My Savior and my God. Don't pretend it's all okay if it isn't. Have that conversation with yourself. Know what's disappointing you. Know why it disappointed you. Ask yourself, did I have some unrealistic expectations? Did I have unrealistic expectations of this? Let me tell you something. Here's a gold nugget. If you are expecting you out of everybody else, you're going to live in a world of disappointment. People say all the time, well, I would have never done that. It don't matter what you would have done. You didn't do it. They did. Stop putting them on that level where they're going to do what you think they should do. Well, I would have never acted that way. Well, I don't know. Get yourself on a bad day. You may. I would have never. That was stupid of them to do. Why did they do that? That's why God's getting them now, because they did that. You better keep your mouth shut. You see, God ain't going to bless that kind of self-righteousness. Even yet, still I will praise him. Go with me right now to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 22. There's power in praise. There's power in praise. I know there's been things that have been a disappointment to you. There's been things that have disappointed every one of us in this room. And I can say that in the same token, we've all been a disappointment. Do we get that? Like when you can really put it in, how many of you right now, you've got something in your life that you're very disappointed in. There's a disappointment there. And you're like, and you feel it. Let me tell you something. As easily as you can raise your hand and say that you're disappointed, if God could take the curtain back and show you your life, I promise you there's somebody that says they were disappointed by something you did. We have disappointment and we are disappointment, and we have to know how to deal with both of those things. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We just read in Psalms where David said, he said to himself, why am I so down? Why is my soul so upset? And then he goes on and he just says, you know what? I'm going to praise God no matter what. Despite the irritation, despite the depression, despite that sadness, despite that my soul is heavy, I'm going to praise God. Even then, even yet, I'll praise him. There's power in your praise. Do you like being disappointed? I don't like being disappointed because it sits there and it eats at you all day long. When you wake up in the morning, that disappointment is there and you can feel it swelling up inside of you. God doesn't want you allowing the disappointment to stay. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 22. Jehoshaphat was at war. The Moabites and the Ammonites and the Meunites, all the Ites, okay, all of them, came to make war on a guy in the Bible named Jehoshaphat. Now, there's going to be times in your life where you feel like everybody's against you. The game changer for you is going to be if you're a child of God. Everybody on the planet, sinners and saints, all have trouble. All have things come up. If you are a believer, if you are a Christian, I'm not saying if you are perfect, because there are none of those. But God is with you. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, all the things you're unproud of in your life. And God was with Jehoshaphat. And in verse 22, I'm actually going to read verse 21. Y'all go with me. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. And as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. So here's Jehoshaphat. And all of the Ites have decided they're against him. They all made war on him. And he gets his group of guys and he says, okay, here's what we're going to do. All the worshipers, we're putting them at the front of the battle. Hallelujah. All the people that know how to worship God, they're leading the army. And we're putting them out in front. And here's what they're going to say. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And you can imagine a huge army of men, and you can imagine people singing at the beginning of this war that they're going in, and they're singing about God. Jehoshaphat put everything that he had. He put all his eggs in the God basket. And here's what God did. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord, not the army, but the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. See, sometimes all God wants is your praise. And he even says, if you will not praise me, the rocks will cry out and they will praise me. That's just how much God is wanting your heart. He's wanting your praise. And I tell you this morning, he's worthy of it. He's worthy of it. How much does praise change you? It changes everything. It changes everything. I can remember some very dark, deep moments of depression in my first 3 months of becoming a new pastor. And I remember looking out my front door, it was glass, and I was looking at the mailbox, and I was telling God how disappointed that I was. And not only was I disappointed, but by golly, I was one mad person. And you can tell it in my preaching because, man, I sounded mean as heck. I don't know how anybody stayed. I wouldn't have stayed, Moni. I had sermons where I would say, okay, I am grieving right now, and I'm the pastor, and I'm going to cry the whole message, and y'all are going to just have to bear with me. And I remember God telling me, Kelly, just praise me. Don't praise me because everything's going right. I still want your praise because right now everything is going wrong, but I'm still your God, and I still want all of your praise. Amen. Now, I'm naturally a smart aleck. So here's what I did, Brother Mike. I lifted my hands, and I said, okay, God, I'm going to praise you. That's what you really want. Lord, I praise you because right now I am in the thick of it and I am disappointed as can all out be. But God, in the name of Jesus, I'm not going off of how I feel. I am going off of who you are. God, I thank you because you have never been a disappointment to me. You have never left me. God, you've never disowned me. God, you've never turned your back on me. Lord, you've never been an awful father to me. God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, right now I turn over the disappointment. And God, I give it to you because God, I don't want to keep it anymore. See, are you going to nurse the disappointments? Are you going to give it to God? A lot of folks, they want that disappointment because they don't know who they are without it. Amen. A lot of people want to keep the disappointment in their life because it's been with them so long, they feel like it's another appendage on their body. Amen. The Word of God says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. God wants you freed up. Tell that disappointment, look here, we're not going to be disappointed anymore. So, we're not going to be downcast anymore. Because at the moment that they began to sing praise to God, the Lord himself began to set up booby traps for all those enemies. And I got news for you. All your enemies, they have a name. And we think that the name is people's names that we don't like. But really, in the spirit realm, our enemies is doubt and unbelief. Our enemies is depression. Our enemies are suicide. Our enemies are addiction. Our enemies are despair. So you can name off every single enemy that you have. But at the name of Jesus, all of those things, they got to bow down. But see, we're having tea and crumpets with all of our problems. Oh, it's just always going to be this way. I hope you're not sick, Dad. Life just sucks. It's going to always be this way. I'm gonna drink some more of my problems. My dad didn't give me enough cookies when I was a kid. That dang jerk. you keep drinking your problems and you're going to get drunk on them. You just keep it up. You'll be wallowing in disappointment, and the devil's painting you a picture like you're the only one that's ever had anything hard happen to you. Let me tell you something. It rains on the just, and it rains on the unjust. At least down here it does. And you're up for it. Praise. Praise. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 3. The third point, disarming disappointment. Praise. Praise. What was the first one? God is relatable to you. You're not the only one. Number two, don't pretend like it's okay if it's not. Acknowledge what you're disappointed about. Number three, praise. 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 King James Version, Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 3. Isaiah 61 and verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. See, sometimes you're going to have to just grieve over what you felt happened to you. The Word of God says in the Beatitudes in Matthew, blessed are those who mourn. So you've had something disappointing happen. Okay. Process it, work through it, but you can't stay disappointed. You can't stay disappointed. And if you've been a disappointment to somebody and you know it, and you've got a conviction in your heart, you go and you make that right. I know I've been a disappointment to you and I'm sorry. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. What does God tell people He'll do if they'll mourn over what's gotten on with them? Joy. Joy. And the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I was going to bring my robe this morning, but at about 1:15, Coco Bear, I decided to let him have cookies and milk before dinner or before he went to night-night last night, and that was a bad decision. Boy, was it ever. That kid knocked on my door at 1:15. I'm a whole different person at that hour. And I look like an alien, man. I got things all attached to me. I said, nudge, Frank. Did you hear that? I thought I was hallucinating because everybody knows do not disturb me when I'm sleeping. Don't go there. And we heard it again. I could tell just by the sweet knock. See, if it was Carson. Carson, you're very sweet, but you guys knock in a whole different way. I forgot you were in here, bud. I could just tell. I can tell how my knocks are, okay? Frank goes, oh, it's Coco. I said, well, something's wrong. Get up. Put on my old lady bathrobe that goes from my neck to my toes. I said, well, just what on earth is the matter? Look here. He was like the exorcist. He just puked everywhere. He goes, Mommy, I think it may have been a bad decision on your part to let me have that cookies and milk. I said, I don't know, but I'm going to go get some gloves on. And I was just picking up chunks of stuff. And we have a little guy, because, you know, we all want our kids to be happy in life, and so we get them this junk that it's really worth 25 cents, but you pay $25, and it was our Milky Milk jug. And he literally thinks, Milky Milk, Milky Milk, Milky, Milky Milk, constantly, Mindy. Well, Milky Milk had to go in the bathtub. He probably doesn't work anymore. Because he needed some washing off. So that's why I ain't wearing my bathrobe. Long story, not short. The garment of praise for the Spirit. If you got questions about what's going on in your life, if you'll get in the Word will tell you what's getting into you. Okay? What is this word? Heaviness is a spirit. Okay? Now, I'm going to tick everybody off in the medical field. I used to be in the medical field. A lot of what's going on with people is spiritual. Okay? Don't send me your hate mail. Read the Bible and you're going to see this stuff. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. If you got a headache, you're probably going to take some Advil, ibuprofen, something. So here's what the Word says. The garment of praise. What do you do with the garment? Well, you put it on. And that garment of praise is going to address and medicate the spirit of heaviness that could possibly be on you. What does that tell you? That tells you that no matter what is going on with your life, and especially when you're disappointed, because disappointment can make you make some wrong choices that you're seeing like you're drunk, and you're in your emotions when you're disappointed. You can make some really bad calls that you're going to always regret. But if you can, when you say, man, I've got the spirit of heaviness coming over me, depression is wanting to sink in on me. Irritation and offense is wanting to come up over me, and I'm heavy-hearted. You've got to literally decide in that moment, what I need is not to get on Facebook and see everybody that would agree with what I have to say of the story, not to over-medicate myself and to do this, not to get in the bottle, not to overeat. By golly, if I'll get on the garment of praise and I'll just put that sucker on. God, my heart is heavy. But Lord, right now, it doesn't matter what's going on with my heart, because God, you are the ruler of my heart. God, I gave you my heart a long time ago. So God, right now, in the name of Jesus, I've made a decision that I'm putting on the garment of praise. And God, I just want to tell you that I praise you right now. God, there's not a stone that you'll leave unturned for me, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you said in your word that every valley, you would raise it up. So God, I'm not going to sit here and feel sorry for myself. Lord, if I'm disappointed, God, I'm going to let myself get over it, because God, I've been a disappointment. The garment of praise. The garment of praise. Is exactly what you need. It's the exact right treatment for that disappointment, for that depression, for that anxiety, for that suicide. Let me tell you something. Too many people making permanent decisions on a temporary emotion. If you're disappointed in yourself this morning, I'm not even talking about if you're disappointed in somebody else. Right now, I want to talk to that person that you're disappointed in yourself and you don't know how to get over it. I'm going to tell you right now, God can help you get through whatever it is you did. God can forgive whatever it is that the devil's telling you you went too far. If you've still got breath in your lungs, you have not gone too far. God loves you. God ain't mad at you. God's waiting on you. And he stands at the door and he knocks. Where does he knock? Every door of your heart. Every last one of them. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Go with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Point Point number four. Disappointment is not all about you. Very seldom does something just happen to you. Here's what I've learned about God. There are many times when we felt like something happened to us, when in reality it happened for us. I'm going to say that one more time because that's a part of the word that you need to get deep down inside of you, because there's people and they're mad at God because they feel like God let something happen to them and God did something to them. And you're disappointed in your life, and you're disappointed with God, and you're disappointed with everything. There's so many times where we feel like something's been done to us, when in reality, if you could see what God was doing, it happened for you and not to you. God will take the worst thing that you have ever been through, and He will turn it around, and He will use it for your good, but He will also use it for other people's good. And your disappointment is not all about you. God will use every part of your life for you, for Him, and for everybody that even walks by you. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things, all them disappointments, all them irritations, all those heartaches, all things, we know that God works. Do you know God works? We need that on a t-shirt. God works. There you go, Billy. You're on to something. God works. It's funny, the other day I was doing something and somebody was like, "Oh, are you a pastor?" And I said, "Yeah." And they're like, "Well, I bet you love that you only have to work on Sundays." I laughed my butt off. I said, "Oh, let me tell you, this pastor works 7 days a week, okay? They just need a job shadow, just a smidge." But God works. Man, in that disappointment, God's working. There are some things in here for people, and you really feel in your heart of hearts like something has happened to you. I want to tell you right now in the name of Jesus, it happened for you. It happened for you. God's going to use it on your behalf. The thing that you thought was going to break you forever and you'll never be able to be okay again, that happened for you. God is willing, and He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all, everything that we could ever ask or imagine of Him. God can and He will do that. You got to get that disappointment out of you because you can't afford to keep it in there no more. Amen. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those that love Him. God is not asking for you to be perfect. He's asking you to love Him. Amen. A lot of people say, "What does God want from me?" He wants your love and He wants your affection. That's what He wants from you. He wants your heart. For the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. It's not all about you. A couple Wednesdays ago, I hate flat tires. Hate them. Because that's the one thing I don't know how to do. And I'm not going to learn. Let me just tell you that. Frank was sick. You know, the ministry don't matter if you're sick or not. Let me just tell you. He was very sick. And we go out of town twice a week, and we get food for a different program that we're involved in. And he was extremely sick. And I said, "I'm sure I could get this one and this one to help you or whatever." He's like, "No, I'm fine." He gets up there on his way, and he gets a flat tire. Here I am. "Lord, we work in the ministry for you every single day. Here's Frank. He doesn't feel good. And now we've got a flat tire, God. I mean, could we catch a break?" Lord, can you allow somebody's tire to get flattened that's not serving you, okay? Can you slow them down just a little bit? So Dad, naturally, he comes, and I was telling him all about it. And he goes, well, I've been noticing that van needed new tires. Well, I love hearing when he has constructive criticism about the condition of the tires on the church van. And sometimes when it gets me in the right moment, I may get just a little bit offended at good old Daddy. And I thought, what a jerk for pointing that out in this moment. And then I got alone, Jeff, and I put on my little thinking cap. And I said, Daddy's usually right about stuff like that with them tires and things. So guess what? I dropped that offense. And I said, Daddy, let's go talk to the tire guy. We're gonna dial his number. You talk to him, and you get on the best tires that you think that we need for that van. And he goes, you need some all-terrain tires. I mean, I felt like we were going to be driving an army van by the time we were done. He had me all ready and souped up. And I felt something in my heart. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When God's talking to me, I can hear that. And I go over there to the tire place, and I said, I want you to put the spare tire back where it goes for us, because he had a heck of a time getting it off, him and Jeremiah. We don't want to have to deal with that. We want you to put it back. And those three tires that are all right, I want you to put them in the back of the van. Never done that. Usually when I'm done with something, I'm done with it. Okay? And I told the guys, I said, get them three tires out of the van, put them in the manna center. And I texted Sister Sherry over here. And she drives a van, same tires go on her van. Well, the next Wednesday, she pulls into the parking lot. And as she's pulling into the parking lot, she discovers she has a flat. And then there's something else wrong with the other one. It wasn't right for it. So, yeah. Guess what she does? It was just like God ordained the whole thing. Here we're going to drive into the church. We're going to pick up these tires that I need. And then we're going to drive to the tire shop. They're going to get the tires put on her van. And she made it down to serve in the food ministry, even with all those troubles. Now, God took an inconvenience, an irritation, and a disappointment of mine, and he met the need of somebody else. I ain't never saved tires a day in my life. What am I telling you? Not all of your disappointment and your irritation is all about you. But God wants to use it. Yes, ma'am. Well, I'm going to get that. Somebody needs to hear this, because I'm not bragging about myself, because I'm not that special, but God is. Come here, Miss Sherry. You just tell us what you just said.
I had just prayed that morning, before she ever told me about the other tires, I had just prayed that morning that something would happen to get tires on my van, because they were looking really bad, and I just knew at any time they were going to go out. And then Pastor Kelly sent me a text and said, I've got three tires for you. Tell me God don't answer.
Amen. Sherry is somebody that I'm very proud of. And when she first started volunteering in the food ministry, she came with her own little disclaimer. And here was the disclaimer. Now, Pastor Kelly, I'm going to help you on Wednesdays, but I'm not going to church. Okay? Reminded me of Moni. She goes, I ain't coming to church. My church is outside, and I do my own thing. Here's what I know. I don't have to sell God. I just have to give him to you in the way that he tells me to, because God is God all on his own. One Wednesday night, she stopped in here after volunteering with us a few times, and she stepped foot in the building. See, the anointing breaks the yoke. When the devil's told you your whole life that you're not suitable to come into a church and you won't be accepted, see, God knows where to send you. She walked through the threshold of the door, and that's all it took, Cecilia. She said, I just want to tell you thank you for accepting me. Do you know how much that matters to people? I'm going to tell you what, Sherry, before I ever accepted you, God accepted you. God loves you, and he cares about what's been a disappointment to you in your life. We know that all things work to the good of those that love him. Last fall, in one of our programs, they said, you need to bring some extra vehicles, because we have between $5,000 and $6,000 worth of school supplies for you. And I thought, well, what are we going to do with that many school supplies? 350 little kids is what we did with that. See, God will take an inconvenience in your life. God will use every part of your life. He wants to use the disappointments. He doesn't want you walking around with them. Last place for me this morning, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. My last point. So many people say, I don't know what to do with that thing that's hurting me. I don't know what to do with the disappointment. I don't know what to do with depression. I don't know what to do with that heart feeling, with that offense. And I'm going to tell you, it sounds very simple, and I know it's very hard to do, but you release it. You release it. You release it. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. In another translation, it says, cast all your cares on him, because he cares for you. What is he saying? Give me all that disappointment. Give me all the hurt. Give me all the pain. Give me all the things that you don't understand. You don't know why they happened to you in your life. You don't know why things worked out the way that they did. Cast all those things to me. I want to take them. I want to speak to that person this morning, and you've been saying just that. Lord, I don't know what to do with these things inside of me, but I don't want to carry them anymore. Lord, I need help to let that thing go. Maybe it's been with you for a long time, and you're saying, you know what? I want to be free. I want to release those things unto God right now. I'm going to ask you to stand right where you're at. We're not going to make a big deal about it. But see, it's a big deal in your life. It's a big deal in your life. If you're at home right now, you need to get off of your couch and stand. If you're driving in your car and you're not able to stand, you need to raise your hand, because, see, you need to respond to the word if it hits you. Father, in Jesus' name, y'all raise your hands. Lord, for every person that's standing, God, right now, I speak to the door of their heart, God, that they're wanting to be opened up. Lord, there's some pain there. There's some disappointment there. There's some anxiety there. There's some depression there. Lord, I thank you right now that as you're knocking on that door of their heart in that place, Lord, we are opening it up for you right now. And God, I thank you that you're taking all of it away right now in Jesus' name. Lord, God, for every sad moment, God, I ask that you replace it with gladness right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you that as we leave today, we are going to live out your sermon. We are going to live out your word. God, we're not going to just be hearers only, but God, we're going to be doers. In the name of Jesus, amen. We hope to see you tonight.